Okay, fine. So let's start then. So, as I mentioned, the key to the second parak of Shema is the theme of rain. Of rain, right? Because the Torah doesn't just say that if you do the mitzvot, that, God will reward you. He's very specific about this, right? Let me remind you of this, if you have forgotten since you read it this morning. But v'haya im shamoa tishmu al mitzvotai asher anochi mitzvei etchem hayom li'ahava Adonai aleichem ulo avdo b'chol levavchem v'chol nafshechem. If you listen to God and do all the mitzvot, what's the promise? V'natati mitar artzechem b'ito yore umalkosh. I will give rain, the first and last rain at the right time, and you will gather your grain and your grapes and your produce, etc. I'll give grass to your animals. And if you don't, what will happen? Hishamru lochem pen yiftel vavchem v'sartem vavatem Elohim acherim v'shachavitem lohem. And if you bow to them, then what will happen? V'chara avadonai b'chem v'atzar l'ashamayim v'lo yematar. V'adama lo titen yivula. V'avatem meiram el haaretz hadova asher Adonai noten lachem. And if you don't, it won't rain. You ever notice this? Apparently not, right? That the big deal in the whole second paragraph of Shema is if you keep the Torah, it'll rain. If not, there won't be rain. That's it. So what I want to try to do it with you today is at least understand why. Why is that so important? What is exactly the theology of rain? In Tanakh, such that this is like... Oh, good. So Ezra says it's dependency on God. Why? How does he know that? Very good, right? So this is not, right? This is an important and becoming more well known, I think, as certain as Tanakh people proliferate. But Ezra is 100% right. So if you look at source one here, this seems to be central to the Torah's theology, because the Torah tells you, "Ki Adonai Elohecha mivi'achal eretz tovah eretz nachalei mayim ayanotu te'amot yotzim ba'bikar bahar." God promises that He's taking you into Israel, right? Eretz chita sora gefen v'gefen v'teina v'rimon eretz zeit shemen udvash eretz asher lo v'miskenut tochal balechem lo techzer kol ba eretz asher avaneha varzel umare nachsov nechoshet. Right, God is bringing you into this good land. Okay, so now, in order to deserve Eretz Yisrael, God says, you must keep the Torah. Right? Number two. Vata Yisrael, ma Adonai Elohecha shuel me'imach. Ki im li'ra'i Adonai Elohecha lechet b'chol d'racha v'la'ava oto l'va'ava Adonai Elohecha b'chol v'avcha v'chol nafshecha. God, what does God want from you? He wants you to fear Him and follow in His ways, and love Him, and serve Him with all your heart and all your soul. Lishmor mitzvot Adonai v'chukotav asher anochi mitzavcha yom letov lach. To keep the mitzvot that I command you today. Hein l'Adonai lecha shamayim v'shmei shamayim v'aretz v'chal asher ba. The heavens are God's, and all in it. Ushmartem et kol mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha yom l'man techezku. Uvatem v'yirishtem et aretz asher atem ovrim shama l'rishta. And if you keep the mitzvot, then you'll be able to go into Israel and inherit it. Right? Uleman tarichu yamim al adam asher nishba adonai lavadichem latid lahem lezarom eretz avarchal avadvash. And if you listen to the mitzvot, you'll have the zchut that you and your children shall live in Israel. Also, same as the end of the second parak of Shema. Right? Leman yirbu yimeichem yimevenichem al adam, etc. But now, the Torah tells you, in the next pasuk, what exactly is it about Israel that will ensure that you only get it to succeed in it if you keep the Torah? So you could have just said, well, it's magical. But God says it's not just magical. It's actually very natural. God chose a land in which you have no choice but to be dependent on God. Why? So look at number three. Ki ha'aretz asher atava shama li'rishta lo cheretz mitzrayim hi asher yatzata misham asher tizra'a zarecha v'ishkita biraglecha kigan hayarak. Because the land that you are leaving, that you're going to, is not like Egypt, where it was like a vegetable garden where you could irrigate it with your foot. Now Rashi looks at this pasuk and says, Israel is better than Egypt because in Egypt you had to work to irrigate, and in Israel it rains. And God waters it for you. But that's not the pshat, as the Ramban will point out. Right? The pshat is what? That Israel is not worse. It's worse physically in the sense that it's less dependable. Meaning, in Egypt, what does it mean? Asher tizra et zarecha biraglecha gegana yarak. That you could water with your foot. Because you had the Nile, and you had tributaries, and what did you need to do to make sure you had water? Yeah, you just needed to build a canal. So you might just do that with your foot, right? Like, if there's already a tributary, and you want to plant a little bit farther, so you sort of just kick it a little bit, and water comes. Right? Kicks the dirt. Right. But in Israel, it comes from rain, and therefore, you need God. So, if that's good, if you listen to God, then things will be easy. Rashi's right. It'll rain and it'll be easier. You won't even have to irrigate. But if you're bad, if you're depending on rain, you're depending on God, it's not going to rain. So the pasuk then says, "Va'aretz asher atam ovrim shama l'rishta, eretz harim uvka'ot, l'mitar ha'shamayim tishtamayim." The land that you're going to has mountains, valleys, and hills. And therefore, it needs rain. And if it needs rain, you can't just rely on natural phenomenon. You need rain, which means you need someone to send that rain, which means you need God. Which is, how is it described? Eretz asher Adonai Elohecha doresh ota tamid. Einei Adonai Elohecha ba mirishit shana v'acharit shana. It's the land which God pays attention to from the beginning of the year to the end. So the simple pshat is what? That what makes Israel unique? Not that it's better, but that it's very physical conditions and topography, or the structure of the land, the mountains, force you to be dependent on God, and therefore makes it that naturally you will remember you depend on God, and you will be cognizant of the fact that you need God. But that also makes it easier in a naturalistic sense for God to say, if you keep the Torah, you'll get the consequences and it'll be good for you. And if you don't, it'll be bad. Because the land doesn't have a natural water source. You need it from God. And what makes Israel unique is actually fosters dependency and therefore encourages obedience. Yes, exactly. And now you understand what the second parak of Shema is doing. Right, Gavi? Right? To review quickly. You're going into Israel. Israel is unique. In Israel, you need to keep the mitzvot in order to survive in a natural sense. Why? Because there is no river to irrigate it. It needs rain. And if it needs rain, that means you need to be dependent on God to send that rain. And that's what the Ramban tells you in number 5. Upshuto shel mikra b'derech ha'azarot. What's the pshat? Du'u lochem. You should know. She'eina ke'eretz Mitzrayim la'ashkoto tabiregel min ha'yorim min ha'gamim kigan ha'yarak. It is not easy. It's not easy to irrigate Israel. It's not a vegetable garden. It's not easy. Ra ki eretz harim uvkaot l'mitar shamayim tishtamayim. It has hills and valleys, and therefore it can only be irrigated by water, by rain. Lo binyan acher utzricha shidrosho tatamid b'matar. Therefore, it needs God to pay attention to it constantly. Ki haaretz me'am ha'od. It's a very parched land. Utzricha matar kol hashana. It needs rain all the time. Every year, v'im tavru al ratzon, and therefore, if you don't keep the mitzvot, v'lo yidrosho ta b'gishmei ratzon, and God doesn't pay attention to it with rain. He ra'ah me'od. Israel is terrible. Lo tizra'ah ve'lo tatzmiach. It won't plant. It won't grow. Ve'lo yale bokal ezev v'harea. No grass will grow. Meaning, what makes Israel unique is not that it's better. It's that it forces you to recognize you're dependent on God. It's a land which is spiritually better because it doesn't let you forget how much you depend on God. Yes, that's what's unique about Israel. And that's why the second paragraph of Shema is in this unit. Is Dvarim Yud Aleph is saying, if you want to live in the land, you don't want to just succeed, you want to live in Eretz Yisrael, then you got to follow the Torah. And if you do, the expression that God is paying attention to you is, it'll rain. And the expression of you're failing to live up to what is required to live in a land that is spiritually more attuned to your deeds is that it doesn't rain. Right? So, while Rashi says that the pshat is that Israel is better because, hey, I don't have to irrigate, it just comes from heaven, the Ramban says, no, pshat is the opposite. From a naturalistic perspective, it's worse. But if your goal is to have a land which has the potential to be successful if you recognize that you need God, and if you do what that entails by keeping the Torah, Israel is perfect. Now, it's true, Rashi's right, that if you keep the Torah, then things are easy because rain just comes, right? But it means that you live in constant fear. Israel is not physically the better land. It's spiritually a more conducive land to cultivating dependence. Yes, and remember we talked about it last... No, because last week we said the second paragraph of Shema is about fear. No, the first is V'ahavta. The second one is, if you listen, things will be good. If not, bet. And that's exactly the point. Why is the second paragraph about rain and the nation so fire and brimstone? Because that's the point, right? Rain is the symbol of you living in a world where you are constantly, immediately aware that God cares about what the Jewish people are doing. And the symbol of that is rain. That's actually what makes Israel unique. Right? In the Torah's description, what makes it unique is that it is not as good. Right? I remember when I gave this shiur the first time, it's not like my chiddush, this is like a classic shiur, but when I gave it the first time, a few people said, so is it bad? You guys just watched Sustainable Nation. So is it bad that Israel is so good at water technology and that we're not dependent? I said, look, I don't know better or worse, right? It's definitely bad if we get to the point where we're so independent that we let ourselves not think about God anymore. Whether it's bad to conquer nature in such a way that we're not, that I can't say, right? But if we would forget that we depend on God, yes, that would clearly be bad. That would be missing the entire point of Israel. Right? Which is living in a land in which you're aware of the fact that you depend on God. Now, despite the fact that Rashi on this pasuk doesn't think that it means that Israel is worse, Rashi does give us a very key understanding. So turn to the second page for a second. Rashi has a comment which really fleshes this out a bit. Rashi says as follows: Eile toldot ha-shamayim v'aretz b'hi baram b'yom masod Adonai Elohim eretz v'shamayim. These are the children of the heaven and earth on the day they were created. V'kol siach ha-sadeh terem yiyeh ba'aretz v'aretz v'chol eitzim ha-sadeh terem yitzmach ki lo himtir Adonai Elohim al ha-aretz v'adam ayin la'avod ha-adamah. But at this point, nothing had grown in the world because God had not made it rain, because there was no man to work the land. So what does that pasuk mean? That's a very cryptic pasuk. Right? There was no plants because it hasn't rained because there was no man to work the land. Right? How does that all fit together? So Rashi quotes Chazal, who says, "My time Elohim tir." Why in the original world of creation had it not yet rained? As of Breishit Perek Bet. Lifisha Adam Ayin La'avodet Ha'adama, because there was no human being to work the land. Ve'ein makir betovatam shel gshamim, so there was no one to recognize God's gift of rain. Ukshaba Adam v'yada she'em tzorech la'olam, when a man came and realized there needed rain, hitpalel aleihem v'yardu v'tzamchu ha'ilanot v'atshayim, he davened and rain came. Which means that for Rashi, this theology that rain represents human beings understanding that they need God, and therefore serving God, and davening God, to God, and appreciating what God gives us, for him, that's not just true in Eretz Yisrael. Where was that true? In Gan Eden. What? Correct, that's what it just said. It didn't rain before man got there, and therefore nothing grew. No. So, but what that shows you is, according to Rashi, the original view of the world before Jews were chosen, and therefore all human beings were chosen, right? This theology of rain applied to everyone in Gan Eden, right? Gan Eden, which we think of as perfect, that doesn't need, that is just everything's ready. Rashi's telling you, no, it isn't. Gan Eden is perfect if you recognize God, and therefore, what is Eretz Yisrael according to Rashi? It's the Gan Eden on earth. Meaning, it's not perfect. It's perfect if you listen to God. That's what Gan Eden is. And just like in Gan Eden, you get kicked out if you don't listen to God, and things stop growing. Remember, that was the punishment. Adam didn't listen to God. God said, things aren't going to grow so easily. You're going to have to work harder. The same thing is true in Eretz Israel. You don't listen to God, it won't rain, things won't grow properly. Right, the theology of Gan Eden, that you need mankind to recognize that there's a God and to follow his ways and recognize that good things happening depends on us doing what we're supposed to, the theology of Gan Eden is the theology of Eretz Israel. Next point. Evil in Tanakh is associated with who? The people who run away from this reality. Who don't want to be dependent on God. It's just they want to be comfortable no matter what. And they don't care about keeping what God wants. What's the epitome? What is the most evil place in all of Tanakh?
Sorry.
No. Sodom. Thank you. Sodom. Except what does Sodom look like?
Nothing.
What? Thank you. So look at number 6. When Avram said to Lot, "Go, let's go our separate ways." What did he say? "Vayomer Avram el Lot, al na tehi meriva veinu veinecha uvein roayu uvein roecha ki anashim achem anachnu. Let's not fight, because we're brothers, we're family. Halochal haaretz lefanecha hipared na me'alai. You have the whole land. If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I go left. Good. Someone tell me what Avram just told him. What were his options? What directions? What are east and west? Right and left are east and west, yes. No, sorry, are north and south. Why north and south? Because how is someone always oriented? To the east. If you're looking east, then going left is north, and going south is right. Which means Avram said, take the north and south within Israel, but don't take east or west. Did Lot listen to him? Which direction did Lot take? East. How do I know he took east? It's the next puzzle, okay? It's not really a secret. Vayisa Lot et Einav. Vayar et kol kikar ha-yardain. lifted up his eyes and saw the Kikar Yarden, which means if he lifts up his eyes, that's the direction he's looking. He's looking at the Jordan River Valley. That means he's looking east, which means he's looking east, so Avram was offering him north or south, and he chose neither. He chose east. Why did he choose east, though? Ki Chula Mashke, because there's one place in Israel which is like Mitzrayim, and that is the Jordan River Valley, because it was watered. Lifnei Shichet Hashem et Sdom ve'et Amorah, before God had destroyed Sdom and Amorah, what did it look like? Kigan Hashem, it looked like Gan Eden, i.e., not what Gan Eden should be, meaning dependent on God, but it looked like a successful Gan Eden, but like what? Ke'eretz Mitzrayim bo'achatzor, like Egypt. Right? Which means that Avram offered Lot, stay here, in Israel, left or right, north or south, and what did he choose? The Mitzrayim-esque existence of materialism, where it's not dependent on how good you are. Vayichar lo Lot et kol kikar Yarden, vayisalot mikedem, vayipardu ish me'al achiv. And they separated. What? Exactly, right? And Lot, who's this evil person embracing Sdom, it's Mitzrayim, that model of wealth that doesn't depend on your actions. Right? Now, I will note that it is therefore, if that's what Sdom is the place in Israel where you could escape the consequences of your actions, at least ostensibly, through natural means, because there is no rain. So why did they get their perfect comeuppance, their perfect punishment? Because what was their punishment? What? Yeah, except how did God destroy them? How does the pasuk describe it? I didn't give it to you on the sheet, but how did the pasuk describe it? This is very important. Now you'll understand how he destroyed it and why he destroyed it the way he did. Va'adonai himtir al-stom va'amorah gofrit va'esh made Adonai min ha-shamayim. God made it rain down fire. Right? Meaning, you thought you could live in a land that depends on your actions, where rain represents our connection, but you lived in stone, which had a river. You could be like Mitzrayim, not care what God did. That's not how Israel works. So what's the punishment? Rain. Not the withholding of rain this time, because they don't need rain, but the rain of fire. Himtir is matar, is rain. He rained fire down on them because they tried to escape the theology of Eretz Yisrael, so instead they're punished with rain of fire.
I think you can make the argument, though, that you could say that the punishment for Israel is that
oh, no, look, so again, the question of, like, whether nowadays that we, you know, have, you know, we don't need to depend on God in that way, is that wrong, right? We know that in the case of Sdom, it turned out badly, because it wasn't just they didn't want dependency. But the point is that they did exactly all the wrong things, right? But they're living in Israel where the way that's supposed to be represented is rain. So here, God, therefore, punishes them with rain, but a different rain. So this is right. This is the open question: Is it bad? It's definitely bad to get to the point where you stop realizing you depend on God. It's easier to realize you depend on God when things aren't guaranteed. I'm not saying it's bad that we have water technology in Israel. If because of that we forgot that we depended on God, that would be bad, right? But we can't escape the fact that the Torah chose a land which, until recently, Right? And even now, to a lesser extent, obviously, I mean, we still care about rain a lot in Israel, right? As much as we have all the desalination, we do depend a lot on rain, and we do care about rain. And the news, like in America, how often do people follow the news? How many centimeters did the lake go up? In Israel, they still do, right? Yes, but the Kinneret is going up slowly, not so much. Okay. But that really is the main theological point that I wanted you to realize from the second parak of Shema, and why rain is so central. Because rain is the symbol of us embracing a life in which we are sensitive to whether or not we're following God's will. We're living in a world where we're cognizant of our dependence on Him. That's the point of the second parak. If you live in Israel and you listen to the mitzvot, things will be great, there'll be rain. And if not, there won't be rain. Because Israel is the place which is spiritually attuned, physically. No, of course you do, but that's the question in a lot of things, right? That's the Ramban's point, which we talked about a little bit before, right? Which is, are you really chayv in any mitzvot outside, or is it just practice, right? We'll bracket that, but definitely Israel is the ideal in that sense. Now, what I have here, just the end of it, is once you understand the centrality of rain and what it represents in Tanakh, now you understand why the Shalosh Regalim are primarily agricultural holidays. Right? Because once you realize that so much of the theology is about rain, and agriculture is an expression and a reflection of how happy God is with us, now you understand why Pesach is defined as Chodesh Ha'aviv, Sukkot is the harvests, right? Shavuot is a different harvest. Right? The point is, agriculture actually has spiritual meaning in the Torah. Now, it happens to also be that there's a double meaning, which is also the historical meaning, which we think about more, not being so attuned to agriculture, which is Yitzhak Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. And correct. But I give you here an 11 is just a quick chart, right? So that you see the Shalosh Regalim, right, have our solar, right? The Chagei Tishrei are completely lunar, right? Which are not dependent on agriculture, right? In Vayikra, therefore, you have the Shalosh Regalim and the Chagei Tishrei. They're lunar and solar, and the mitzvot described there are unique to each holiday. In Bamidbar, you describe in the lunar, you talk about the Karbanot, right? This is just the sort of overarching thing. Rav Yoel Ben Nun has this nice point, which is that at some level there is a link between the historical and the agricultural, because if you think about it, Pesach is the beginning of the new nation, right? And the agricultural cycle is Aviv, is the beginning of the new sprouting, right? Shavuot is like the beginning of the reaping, right, that is the first fruits, and it's Matan Torah, it's not the end of the journey, right, but Sukkot, which is the end of the process, is the 40 years in the desert, well, up to when we get to Eretz Israel. So there is a certain parallelism in the life of the nation between the agricultural cycle and the historical one. Yeah. Okay, I'll leave it there. Some of the other stuff here is more about the Shalosh Regalim more specifically, but in terms of the theology of the second paragraph of Shema, that was the main point I wanted to get, why rain is so central to what we say every day, and maybe you'll notice from now on that it's actually about rain, which apparently, you know, you didn't notice, but that's fine, and we'll stop there.